Lord's Day 16. Lord's Day 16. Last week we focused on his suffering, and this week we're specifically focusing on his death. And so let's read through this together. Please answer the questions. Lord's Day 16. Why was it necessary for Christ to suffer death? Because the justice and truth of God required that satisfaction for our sins could be made in no other way other than by the death of the Son of God. Why was he buried? To show thereby that he really was dead. Since then, Christ died for us. Why must we also die? Our death is not a satisfaction for our sin, but only a dying to sin and entering into eternal life. What further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? That by his power, our old man is with him crucified, slain, and buried, so that the evil lusts of the flesh may no more reign in us, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why is it added, he descended into hell? That in my greatest temptations, I may be assured that Christ, my Lord, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, and terrors, which he suffered in his soul on the cross, and before has redeemed me from the anguish and torment of hell. Amen. Saints of God, you and I have never experienced two things. Death, which is obvious, and abandonment from God. We've never experienced death. We've never experienced abandonment from God. And in order for us to be redeemed, Christ needed to experience both of those things. Why? Well, the Bible says, or our catechism reflects that truth, because of justice. Jesus had to die because that is the penalty of sin. If you do this, you will surely die. That has been the echo since the Garden of Eden. If you do this, if you sin, you will surely die. And that's the path of all who are in sin. The Old Testament has been preparing us for this through the sacrifices, through the institutions of the temple. All of these aspects are anticipating and pointing to the full penalty that the Messiah needed to pay to bring his people to himself. And so, Christ needed to die. Not just figuratively, not just symbolically, because our redemption isn't symbolic. Our redemption isn't just some myth we tell our children at bedtime to make them better people. No, our redemption is an event. Jesus had a physical body. He was torn to pieces. His skin was pierced. He drew his last breath on the cross. Beforehand saying, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I give my spirit." Jesus experienced death. As R.C. Sproul would say it, it was a creaturely death. Why is this so necessary for us? Because you and I need to be comforted with the reality that we do not have a Savior that did not experience everything that we have and will experience. Because one day you and I will die. One day you and I will draw our last breath. One day you and I will close our eyes for the last time. What will be your comfort? In Christ, you will not die alone. Now, what I mean by that is not that, people have family around them. I've experienced this multiple times in the hospital. And that's a great comfort. That's a great treasure. And that's a real tragedy that isn't taking place because of this virus. But even the fact that you're surrounded by family, if you're dying, you are the one that is dying. And so if you are without Christ, you are going to die alone in your sin. So Christ truly died. And how was this confirmed? We do not believe in the swoon theory, as Muslims believe, that he had an apparent death. He was so weak and beaten and all these things that he appeared to die, but he actually didn't fully die. And they deny this because of the fact that if Christ truly did die, if he truly was resurrected, that would make him more than just a mere prophet. But the Bible confirms that Christ did indeed die by being buried for 3 days. Why not two? Why not four or five or more days? Why? What's so special about three? Three is special only because it confirms that he really did die, and that was sufficient evidence of that. He did die on the cross for us in our place to pay the full penalty of our sin, to satisfy the demands of God's wrath. Because that's what led him to die on the cross. Not just to inspire us, not just to give us new hope, but to actually show us how steep the curse goes, how horrible it is to die in your sin. And Paul in Romans 6 tells us that just as real as the death of Christ was, so are we now dead to sin. That's a very physical, tangible confirmation of what has changed because of what Christ has done for us. That we are not just inspired, we are renewed. We are a new creation because of what the death of Christ has accomplished for us. And we attain that benefit by faith in him, not in anything that we do or earn. We earn absolutely nothing. Our faith is in Christ's perfect sacrifice and death that he sufficiently paid. So we must too, because of being in Christ, we must count ourselves being dead to sin and no longer serve it as our master. And then comes the last question, which always is a bit controversial. He descended into hell. Well, I'll just give you the cliff notes. This is not talking about Jesus literally descending into hell. I do not believe that one bit. I can go into many arguments, but the main ones, if Jesus really descended into hell, literally, then why would he say to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise"? Why would he say, "It is finished," if his suffering wasn't finished? There's more, but those are the two top two in my list of why this cannot mean that Jesus descended into hell. So why does it even say it at all? What's the purpose of this? To help us understand that what Christ paid was hell for us. The eternal punishment was paid on the cross. What your sin and my sin deserved was put on display on Golgotha. Why? Why is this comforting to me? because Christ was forsaken, Christ was abandoned, you will never be forsaken. You will never be abandoned by your Father in heaven. Because of the actual death of Christ and what it has accomplished for you. The hell that was paid in your place. That when we are living and walking through our life, no matter how we may feel during the trial, no matter how our circumstances may seem or look to us, it may seem that God is far away, it may seem that God is holding us from a distance, that is never, ever the case and can never, ever be the case. Because to assume that God is far away from me is to mean that God is condemning me. That God is judging me in the final judgment sort of sense. Which is never the case if we are in Christ. If we place our trust in Him. That in the greatest temptations, in the greatest struggles of our Christian life, that the Lord is always near. That we come to Him for mercy and for grace, and His grace and mercy will always be available to renew us, to strengthen us. So let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 16 with that.